Sit down, chill, and relax, because you're here with TC Mason, tuning in for another episode of Spiked Lemonade.
Cheers! It's episode 11 of the Spiked Lemonade podcast, and you're having a nice chilled glass of lemonade with your girl, TC Mason, health and happiness strategist, where we talk about everyday experiences and everyday things spiked with a slice of mental health. So, last week, well, not last week, but your girl got a little bit emotional. Last episode, let's say that. Your girl got a little emotional, and we were talking about Chad Bozeman, Cry Me a River, why does 2020 feel like it is an endless pool of grief, and that we're floating and swimming in this pool of grief. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I am not built for this. I really am not built for this cycle of continuous, what it seems like, bad news. This person is dying. This person drowned. Oh, I mean, it's been a series of just different stuff happening, and it is a lot for the mind to just wrap it. It's a lot to have your mind wrap around. So maybe it's just me, but Lord, you know, where's the life jacket? Where's the helicopter rescue mission? Because this pool of grief and tragedy is massive. It's not even a pool. It's like an ocean. It's a huge ocean, an endless ocean, it seems. But hopefully it comes to an end really soon, because I don't know about y'all, but I'm over it. But anywho, getting into this week's episode, episode 11, talks about mental health. And we're talking about mental health and self-care as it concerns the guys, the men, the males. How are they handling? How are they dealing with COVID? And just how do they handle emotions, period? And does being a man, is that contradictory with being vulnerable? Like society's definition of being a man. We're going to talk about it, and this episode is with Adam Butler, so we're going to talk about it with him. I'm so happy that I got the experience to chat with him about it, and this is a previously recorded episode, so we're going to get into it. I'm going to let you guys know what you guys said on Facebook and on, what was it, Facebook, on Instagram. You guys said some things like, yeah, it does conflict. The idea of what a man is supposed to be does conflict with a man being vulnerable. Everybody was like, yeah. And it got real heated. On Facebook, it got real heated. People was like, and that's your toxic masculinity coming out. I was like, whoa, oh, okay. So, anywho, you guys got to join in on those conversations, because I post some questions and I try to get people involved to get their take on situations. Another question was, you know, have you heard a man say when they're stressed? Or is it okay for a man to say that he's not okay? And there were some mixed responses about that. Some people say, yes, it's okay for a man to say that. But then there was another response that said, women want men to be able to say that they're not okay, but really they don't. They just want a man to be there for their emotional issues. It was a lot. But anywho, without further ado, we're going to get into this interview with Adam Butler. He has a podcast, The Butler Did It. So I hope you guys are ready. Are you ready? I hope so. The lemon has been dropped, so let's get into it. All right. The lemon has been dropped, so let's get into it. I am here with Adam Butler. What don't you do, brother? I mean, producer, writer, podcaster, The Butler Did It, filmmaker, documentary maker, everything. Tennis shoe connoisseur. I can go on and on and on. Am I missing anything? Because the list is long, brother.
No, I think that might be it. I mean, family man, maybe. Like, you throw that in there. I'm proud of that as well. But yeah, I appreciate you hyping me like that. That feels good.
Yeah, family man and from D.C., D.C. native. Let's go. Mm-hmm. All of that. So loving all of that.
Let's get it. Thank you.
So I brought you on because when I thought about men and self-care, there weren't many that came to mind out here in these internet streets or just in general. And I was like, Adam Butler. And so that led me to reach out. And so we can talk about men and self-care. What is it?
Absolutely.
What is it like for you to know that people think of you when they think of men in self-care?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for inviting me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm proud of you. You're doing big things as well. We know each other for a while, so I'm really happy to see you in this space. So thank you for that. To answer your question, it makes me proud. It makes me proud to think that people think of me in this space. You know, it's I know for a lot of guys that is something that, you know, there's a little bit of a struggle there, you know, in terms of being able to express ourselves in a proper way and being comfortable in this space. So yeah, I'm very proud to be thought of when it comes to self-care.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What is your definition of self-care for you?
My definition of self-care. Well, you know, I always say mind and my mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be very honest, you know, understanding self-care is, I guess, is going to be like a lifelong journey for me. So I'm always learning something about self-care. So it's hard for me to define it. I just know that I have to be able to be okay in order to be okay for other people, in order to look out for other people, to make sure that people in my circle, my family are good. I have to make sure that I'm okay. So I guess my definition of self-care would be, this is going to sound a little messed up, but to learn how to be a little selfish at times, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding that I have to go inside sometimes and make sure I'm good. And then by doing that, being able to express to other people, in particular, like my fiance, my child, you know, my family,
mm-hmm.
What's going on with me, being transparent. So maybe that's my definition, being transparent.
Being transparent. I like to call that being authentic, like that authenticity, knowing yourself, you knowing your patterns. One of the definitions that I use for self-care is mindful attention of taking time to care for yourself. Mm. It's physical, it's mental, mm-hmm. it's spiritual, it's social. It's mm-hmm. all of those things that you said. But it,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it starts from knowing yourself. Like, you can't self-care without knowing who you are. So where did you start to learn, or what did you see growing up in terms of men in your life and them practicing or maybe not practicing self-care?
Well, you know, I was lucky. My father is very expressive, very transparent. You know, a lot of people would make fun of my father and say he would cry at a drop of a dime, right? That was always a joke about my dad, right? Mm-hmm. But I realized that he just was, you know, almost expert at being able to express himself. So I learned from him very early on, but that didn't mean I picked mm-hmm. it up. I think, you know, growing up in certain environments, we talked about being from DC. I'm from Southeast, and you know how Southeast was for people that aren't from the area. Yeah, buddy. Southside. Southeast was a you know, a dangerous place coming up, you know, in the 90s.
And it still
so
is.
So I came up around it. It still is. Yeah, it definitely still is. I came up around a lot of men who had no idea how to express themselves in the most negative of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I didn't want to be like that. I knew that as I got older, that feeling was a restrictive feeling, you know, smothering, you know. So as I got older, just through life experiences and dealing with anxiety and actually having like actual anxiety attacks, crippling anxiety attacks too, and not knowing what they were for years, you know, finally getting to the point where I was able to say, hey, maybe I should talk to someone about this. Mm-hmm. It helped out. My son just walked in the room. It helped out. What's up, buddy? I got you.
Well, before I had blessed it.
Was again. Here you go, bud. Here you go.
He said he won't do it again. He can only do it two times.
Okay, bud. Close the door for me, okay?
I love Thank it. You. I love it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just being able to get to that point where hearing enough people talk about therapy, you know, doing the radio show really helped out. I had a bunch of guests on the show who were people like yourself, mm-hmm. who were in the therapy field, who understood this, and it became less and less of a taboo for me personally. And this thing that, you know, only crazy people do, mm-hmm. or weird people do, deciding to go see a therapist and realizing that when your stomach hurts real bad for no reason, or when you start feeling dizzy for no reason, or your heart rate starts going up for no reason, it's an anxiety attack. It's anxiety, you know, and getting to the bottom of that was life-changing.
I can only imagine. You have hit on so many different points, because I think that even growing up in Southeast myself, there are certain images that come across in your mind when you think of men. Period. And one of the mm-hmm. things is, like, you don't talk about your feelings. Or if you are a guy, you talk about it in a way where it's like jokingly, but you're not really talking about your feelings. But it's just a different way mm-hmm. that is talked about. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if those type of stereotypes get in the way of people, of men feeling free to take care of themselves in a way that works well for them. Because it's like self-care is almost kind of synonymous with feminine care sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The stereotypes do get in the way. And sometimes people live for what other people mm-hmm. think, right? I know for myself, the biggest thing wasn't necessarily my friends or my peer group. It was my family. Mm. And I'm not saying, like, I didn't, you know, they meant well. Mm-hmm. But what I would get from them is worry, like, oh my God, well, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? You know, when I started being very open about anxiety and mental health mm-hmm. and started podcasting about it, talking about it, I would often get a call from my father or a call from one of my aunts or my mom or someone and be like, they'd be concerned about right. me. And that made me feel like, you know, I don't want to worry them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people sitting around thinking like something's wrong with me, because mm-hmm. the truth is nothing wrong with anyone. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, these are feelings that I'm just starting to understand, and I want to express to people so other people know, especially men, that, hey, it's okay to go through mm-hmm. this. It doesn't make you weak. You're not a punk or anything like that. But the biggest obstacle for me was, you know, especially coming from an African-American family, this idea that, oh, something's wrong with Adam and let's try to fix him. Mm. And then for me, just sort of like guilt of like, well, if I start talking about what's wrong with me, then I'm going to upset. I'm going to worry people. So let me keep it to myself, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not a good thing.
At all. That's actually a big part of anxiety, is trying to control the mm-hmm. outcome of other people instead of allowing them to feel the way that they feel. It's like a double-edged sword, because you're in one way, you're trying to protect them, but it's at the expense of yourself.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's you know, it's the fear of being, you know, the only word I can think of is being selfish. And I know that's not probably not the best way to put it, but, you know, it's the fear of looking out for yourself and making sure you're good so you won't hurt other mm-hmm. people. You know, I know for men, this idea of, well, I don't want to be whining and crying, and I don't want to be, you know, I have to be the strong one in here. Even if you don't know, if you have no idea what that mm-hmm. looks like, I have to be the strong one in here. So if I'm going through something, let's just take it even from a relationship standpoint. If I'm going through something, I don't want to express that to my partner because I don't want her to think I'm weak.
Yep.
Or I don't want to worry her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's when the truth is, your partner would probably appreciate it more if you were just transparent about what was going on with you, I would mm-hmm. think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And I think just trying to disengage from some of these prescriptions of how men are supposed to be, like, they're supposed to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to protect their families. They're supposed to be stoic mm-hmm. and not let anything bother them, because if they do, and depending upon how yeah. they respond, they'll be called names, or they're weak, right. or whether they can manage in life will be questioned. So it's like battling against all of these things.
Yes, and it happens, by the way. Like, you know, I don't want to pretend like these things don't happen. You know, I think mental health is something that, especially in our community, the Black community, we all need to learn about, no matter what level of mental health you need to be dealing with personally. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe it at all. Black people need to go to therapy, right? Just off
say
the
it again.
Stress of how our world is set up. I'll say it, say again. It again. All Black people need to go to therapy. You know, we just had a video floating around on, it's still floating around, of a man being murdered, you know.
Which I did not look
and
at.
And we see
all
those things, and you know how this works. Like, that's, yeah, and you shouldn't look at, you know, because it's almost, it's the equivalent of witnessing a murder on the street. It's no different,
right?
So Black people go through trauma. Now, your range of mental health, where your mental health may be, ranges from person to person.
Right.
Myself personally, I've seen things coming up that have, that trigger the PTSD in me, that trigger the anxiety in me, mm-hmm. right? That's different than someone that grew up in a totally different environment. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's worth it for all Black people to understand all ranges of mental
yes.
health so we could communicate properly, right? So I think that there are people out there that are like, yo, just get over mm-hmm. it. Or, and we're both, you know, depending on what your faith is, pray it away. And there's nothing wrong with praying, mm-hmm. you know, but the idea of just being able to like pray something away or just, it's sort of like dismissive to tell somebody to just go deal with it on their own. I don't want to deal with it because right. you don't understand. So it is very true that, you know, especially for men, and I can only speak for men, by the way, mm-hmm. I don't like to compare it with men and women, especially Black men and women. I think it might be equal. And so I can only speak for Black men. Mm-hmm. I know for Black men, it is difficult because the idea of a Black man is that he's comfortable either in his strength mm-hmm. or in his mess. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, there's no in between. There's no learning process for the Black man. It's either I'm happy just being a mess because I'm just a mess because I'm a Black
right.
man. Oh, I'm a strong Black man and I got myself together and I wear the suit and I got the great job mm-hmm. and I'm in this fraternity and I'm perfect.
It's all or nothing.
So that's a hard, mm-hmm. it's all or nothing. And that's a hard pedestal to put any Black man on, you know, because so let's just say you are that guy that's viewed as a mess, a thug, whatever, right? If you are showing mm-hmm. any level of vulnerability, no one wants to take you serious. If you are right. that stoic, strong Black man, then everyone's leaning on you. So there's mm-hmm. no room for you to be vulnerable. There's no room for you. If you do, you're considered to be a failure. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying all Black people feel that way, but there's a good chunk of people that mm-hmm. don't quite understand the idea of growth and a mental health journey. And I think that's something we could all get better at, myself included.
Right. It's a heavy burden to carry. It's a heavy burden to mm-hmm. carry when people are saying this is how you should be. And it can right. get in the way of you getting to know who you are so you can be who you're supposed mm-hmm. to be. I think you said, you mm-hmm. mentioned quite a few things when you mentioned about the video and how you said that it triggered some other things, but you don't even know mm-hmm. that you're being triggered if you don't know yourself and you haven't done the right. work to actually figure out, okay, what about this is triggering, you know?
Right.
And I often find, like, sometimes when I'm in therapy with men, they have a difficult time with feeling words, period.
Mm. Mm.
Because it's not mm. something that mm. is, there are not a whole bunch of examples in society to encourage it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
if you don't have yeah. the language, how can you be in tune with what you're feeling? If you don't even know what to call it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a father. And he was talking about how things have changed since he's a dad and he has a boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he feels like a punk sometimes. And I was saying, well, why do you feel that way? He was like, because, you know, I feel like I can't. If someone challenges him, he can't react the same way because he has to worry about his child.
Mm.
And he kept using the word, I feel like a punk, I feel like a punk. And I understood exactly what he was right. saying, but I kept saying to him, you're not a punk. Even if you child or no, it's okay to look out for your own safety. Again, when we come from certain environments, we're taught never to back down. Somebody step to you, you got to do what you got to
right.
do. That's a dangerous way to, that's a dangerous mindset to have. That's living in a, you know, I can say, you know, when you come from, and by the way, as a side, I don't like to only speak about mental health in regards to, oh, I come from a crazy environment, because that's absolutely not true. And I don't like to speak in a monolith when it comes to Black people, because there are Black people that, you know, come from Bel Air, right? Like, you know, they live a good life, but they still have, they still, you know what I mean?
It's still trauma. It's still stuff. Issues
in regards to mental, it's still trauma, right? It's still trauma. But, you know, when you are from a certain environment, and even if you aren't, the idea of, again, just for a Black man, is that you have to have carry a certain type of bravado when you're walking around. Yeah. And that idea of avoiding a situation that puts you in physical harm makes you feel like a punk is toxic in itself.
And many lives have been lost because of that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at what's going on right now, it doesn't have to be like a situation where you're confronted with violence per se. Mm-hmm. But if you look at like what's going on right now, where this is a vulnerable time for everyone, people are quite literally scared.
Oh, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And men are scared too. Right now, you know, it's funny. The last podcast I did, and I didn't do my podcast. I didn't release a podcast yesterday because you may even hear it in my voice. I got like a little cold, right? And even with that, trust and believe in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, do I have like the corona? Like, am I like,
right?
That, you know what I mean? Like, you go to think like that. Well, normally, if I felt like this, I just like, oh yeah, it's got a little cold. It is what it is. So, what I'm getting at is that even with that, I know men myself that are like, you know what, I ain't gonna catch no corona because they can't, they don't want to come off like they're afraid of this thing. They don't want to come off like they're scared in a time that's literally scary. Mm-hmm. And that's toxic behavior just in general. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be able to say, no, I'm uncomfortable right now. This is weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's okay to say that.
But those words normally don't go together. Uncomfortable, no. Weird, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. Nah. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. 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 And if you don't have that language, then you're missing out on tapping into those real feelings. There are real situations. Like, if somebody is approaching you or you feel like you have a sickness, it's okay to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. It's absolutely okay to be afraid. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it's a level of bravery. My father always taught me is there's a level of bravery in admitting that you're scared. A fool is a person that doesn't get scared. A educated person knows, like, this is a scary situation, but you know what? I'm going to confront it anyway. So you're brave because you wake up every morning and you go out and you face this world, especially right now. Like, we're being active. We're doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? We're living our lives in spite of an unknown entity.
Right.
You know, and that goes even beyond just the pandemic, like just in life, when you get up and you walk out of that door, especially as a Black person, and you don't know what's going to happen to you, you know, whether you live in a violent environment or you live in an environment that's just foreign to you. You got to deal with others, right? Mm-hmm. You know, these things are stressors, and to be able to get up every day and live your life and succeed in spite of that and go and wake up the next morning breathing in spite of that is bravery,
right?
You know, it's bravery.
And then both feelings can exist at the same time. Like, I always tell people, this world, so many people are like all or nothing, and there's so many complexities where you can be scared and brave at the same time. Like, they can both exist. Realizing that vulnerability is a strength, instead of viewing it as such a weakness, like, because it takes courage to be vulnerable.
Yes, exactly.
It's a big risk. But how have you been carrying?
Absolutely.
How have you?
No. I'm
been caring for yourself during the corona pandemic in terms of self care. Like, what are the things that you've been doing?
You know. All right, so I'll be vulnerable now, right? Like, so again, I mentioned that I had, I've had like, you know, a little bit of like head cold and chest cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a, you know, pretty significant anxiety attack just a few days ago, right? And, you know, these things happen. So I'm having it, and, you know, anybody that's had an anxiety attack, sometimes the symptoms of an anxiety attack reflect the symptoms of corona, like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Facts. What is going on, right? You know, the old me, even the Adam that was making videos about anxiety and doing podcasts about anxiety just a year and a half ago, before I met my fiance, would go through it by himself and then, well, by myself, speaking of third person, go through it by myself, right? And then, right, go through it by myself and did not tell anyone, right?
Right.
I would tell people that all these faceless people, you know, but I wouldn't tell my mom. I wouldn't tell my friends, mm-hmm. right? And definitely wouldn't tell them when it was happening. One thing I did this time, and it takes a level of bravery, was I came up and I told my fiance, I said, listen, I'm going through something today. I am legit worried. Mm-hmm. And why that was important was because I was vulnerable enough with her for her to give me good advice. Right. Listen, if this keeps up, we're going to have to go get, you know, the tests, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also, Adam, you're okay. I'm here. Let me hold you down. Like, I know you're the man and all this and that, and you're going to make sure the family's good. Let me hold you down.
Kudos to fiance. Go, girl. Go ahead.
Listen, man, she's a absolute blessing. And my family, I'm real loud, like, and my family is a blessing. So to answer your question, I've been leaning on them heavy and we've been leaning on each other heavy. You know, I am, no disrespect to anyone that's going through this like alone. In fact, I'm sure everyone finds their own way to cope, right? Mm-hmm. But for myself, I am 100% blessed and lucky to have been going through this with them. Mm-hmm. I'm not in here alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so the way I've just been taking care of myself, I've been podcasting, mm-hmm. right? Keep it busy helps me. I podcast by trade, so that's my 9-to-5 job as well. Mm-hmm. You probably can hear my boy in the background screaming and hollering. I play with him. And I, you know, I lean on my family. You know, we cut off the news.
Yes.
That's something you have to do. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know what I mean? Cut off the news. I watch movies with them. I watch movies by myself. And I just, you know, again, just try my best to mind my mental health while understanding that I don't have the answers right mm-hmm. now. This is a strange, strange time. So I don't think anyone does. And I've kind of found comfort in that as well. Like, look, there's no answer to seek. Excuse me. There's no answer to mm-hmm. seek. So I have to be comfortable in understanding that it is right. what it is. It's in God's hands. Right. You know?
And it's okay to not know the answers and be okay with not knowing the answers, even as a man, as a human being, it's okay mm-hmm. with not mm-hmm. knowing. I think that in terms of your self-care, you hit on so many things in terms of, you know, utilizing your support system. A thing about self-care right. is being able to pour into yourself and allow mm-hmm. others to pour into you. Mm-hmm. It's that part. The allowing part and to be comfortable mm-hmm. with allowing yeah. it to happen.
Absolutely. You know, and that was the point of that story, you know, that I have to allow people to help me. And again, we're talking about mm-hmm. the pandemic, but that just goes, like you just mentioned, across the board. It's okay as mm-hmm. a man to say like, yo, I need help right now. You know, it's that old, like, this old adage about a man not wanting to use a map when he's driving, right? Like, it's okay mm-hmm. to need help. It doesn't make you any less of a man. You know, I could go on forever about systemic racism and systemic issues in our community and why men are how they are. We could say mm-hmm. that for another podcast, right? But mm-hmm. we all understand that there is a bag that comes along with being a Black man. And we need to start unpacking that thing. You know what I mean? Yes. Some of these issues and these character traits that we just carry around because we feel like we have to mm-hmm. are harmful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I agree with you 100%. It's okay to let somebody pour in. Like that was a day where I couldn't be the rock for my family. I just couldn't be it that day. Like I was just legit worried about myself. Now, what happens if I try to be the quote unquote rock for them while genuinely feeling a high level of anxiousness because I'm concerned about my own health? Well, now I'm right. irritable. Now I'm not talking. Mm-hmm. Now she's wondering mm-hmm. what's going on with me. Now my son is worried about what's going on. Why is Adam not acting right? You know
it's
what I mean?
Snowball.
Now I'm probably snapping off with people. It's a snowball effect mm-hmm. because I'm just not getting to the bottom of an issue and just saying like, listen, even if you're saying like, yo, I'm not in a good mood today. I don't know why, but mm-hmm. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And you know, please forgive me if I'm a little quiet today. Please forgive me if I'm just not myself. That's okay. That would save you so much drama. If you could just say that.
If you could say it, especially
as a man.
If you could say it and be aware of those feelings. I often talk with my husband all the time. Like, I'm like, babe, how you feeling? He like, I don't know. Sir. Yeah. Oftentimes he doesn't know he's stressed. And I'm like, babe, you're stressed. It's okay. You're stressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a stressful world. It is. And a part of guys to be protective. Like there's this big, like when I say there's so much, it's like it's a lot for you guys to carry, you know, because just the shaping of the male construct is that you're supposed to be the provider. You're supposed to take care of your family. You're supposed to, if everything is going awry, if everybody is tripping out, you can't trip out because you the man.
Right. Right.
And that's heavy. Yes. It's heavy. Yes. It's too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen my dad. I've seen my uncle break down, you know, because of these things, you know what I mean? And I've always admired them. You know, I'm lucky because I had strong men in my life. And I know fellas that didn't have strong men in their lives. So they're trying to learn how to be a man from scratch, right? From TV or just from what maybe their mom taught them. You know,
if they learn it from TV.
And that's a mess, right? So I'm lucky because I've had strong men. I had two grandfathers who were amazing men. I have an incredible dad. My dad is my hero. I have an incredible uncle who was like a dad to me. And I've had, even along the way, even as an adult, I have male, you know, mentors who are there for me, right? So I had examples, but with that, I even saw them try to put too much on his shoulders and just kind of fold at times, you know? And I've definitely been there, you know? The family thing is still fairly new to me. You know, I was always meant to look out for myself for years. Mm-hmm. You met me. I was, you know, it was just me, myself and I, right? I have a family now and I have a instant family now. You know, my son is my stepson.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I have an instant family and I love him like my own. He is mine. You know what I mean? But like this family thing and being selfless in that way. Is new to me. So sometimes I do fall into that, like, yo, it's a lot going on and I got to take care of business. And I can't show them that I'm not capable of taking care of business in this moment. And again, that's not a good place to be, but I'd be, you know, what I don't want to do is come off as a guy who never has those feelings. That's why I say in the beginning, mental health is a journey that you'll be learning. Forever.
And
it's a beautiful journey. Yeah, it's ongoing and it's a beautiful journey, but it's tough, you know? So yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like a lot comes with that. I always say a man that's worth his salt is someone that wants to take care of their family and their people. And it's a tough space to be in when you're like, yo, I can't do it right now, at least in your mind. And again, I've seen my family members pretend to be able to do it when they couldn't. And that brings on more disappointment than right. And that's a lesson I'm learning too, that being able to say, hey, look, right now, I can't right now, or I need help right now. I need you to help me. You know what I mean? So it's not natural. I will say that. It's not natural.
It definitely isn't. Not with the way that the society shapes what manhood looks like. Cause you see it in television, you see it on episodes, and you rarely see men taking care of themselves. Now you see it in with women, self-care Sundays, you know, you got the cucumbers on the eyeballs or what have you. In terms of men, you normally see like men at the barbershop, you know, edge up, that line up, those tennis shoes. Now it's normally physical with men. And that inside part, like, what about your diet? Are you exercising? Like, what are the things that you're doing to fill up yourself, not just with the material, physical things? You don't really see that in film and in a lot of things.
Yeah. That's such a good point. You know, I'm a big up my fiance because, and I'm big up women right now. I always say women ahead of the curve when it comes to mental health, and you mentioned it. Even through this, like, she has like Zoom happy hours with the girls. They always get together. I haven't heard. I barely talk to my boy. Like, we go on the phone every now and then. Me and my boy Shad, we go on the phone. But, like, we aren't making efforts to, like, try to normalize this thing. You know what I mean? And I, you know, there was a time where I think it was doing one of the Versus battles, right? Mm-hmm. Where I got like a little jealous. I'm not going to lie, because like they all got together to watch the Versus. Right. And I'm sitting there like, oh, well, I could watch the Versus with her and her girls. Or I could watch it by myself. I never once thought that. It's like, hey, fellas, let's watch the Versus. Like, that's, you know, it's just not a natural thing. Like you say, you know, I know the video is, but you like, you see my sneakers and everything. Like, yeah, I retail therapy. I go hoop. Like you say, it's physical things. We go to the barbershop. We talk a little trash. Mm-hmm. Those things have been taken away from us. So I do need to be mindful. Like one of my boys will call me on a regular basis. And if I'm like tied up with work or whatever, because fortunately I'm still working, mm-hmm. you know Raven. What I mean?
Yes.
If I'm tied up, well, yeah, pray for real. you know, yeah, for real, for real. But if I'm working on the pod or I'm working on the pod for work or whatever I may be doing, I mean, I pick up the phone or what mm-hmm. have you. I have to be mindful that, like, yo, I need to pick up, you know, Paul. I need to pick up the phone for Paul. Right. I need to pick up the phone for Shannon or Derek. These are my friends I'm naming. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to pick up the phone for these fellas because they may just be reaching out for a different reason than they were reaching out before. May not be like to be, hey, you heard about the song? So it may be like, yo, I legit need somebody to talk to. I'm going to call Adam, but I don't know how to say that to him.
That
you know,
part.
And so it
that
is, part. It's a, yeah.
That, yeah. that part. You
know, it's see, weird.
I tell my husband all the time, mm-hmm. I'm like, y'all are just interesting creatures, man. Because, you know, women, we're like, oh, we're socialized for relationships. And for intimacy. And whereas men is socialized differently. And I'm like, dude, you got friends. Hang out and call. Mm-hmm. I said, figure out, you know, y'all manly way of, y'all don't really say things straightforward. It's like all the way around a corner. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And I'm like, you need, your people. You need your people. And y'all need that sense of intimacy.
Yeah,
and now that the barbershops are gone or different ways that you would connect and you guys mm-hmm. kind of like connect physically, like doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's one mm-hmm. piece that you said earlier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's my husband. That's my husband. You got to stay busy. Mm-hmm. Men feel like they got to stay busy mm-hmm. or they not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then you ran down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sir, sit down somewhere, please.
Yo, tell my man I feel right. Because it's hard. It is difficult when this thing, it's a lesson in this pandemic, right?
Oh, yes.
Many lessons. And one of them is self-care and self-reflection, right? I saw, oh my God, Herm Edwards. Mm-hmm. Herm Edwards was saying on ESPN, Herm Edwards, the football coach, was saying like, yo, this thing has taught us how to sit still. And for men, that's hard too, because you're right. Like, my fiance always gets on me about like, yo, why can't you just sit in the house? Like, again, I love sitting around with them, but just sitting around doing nothing, right? Like, so if they're at work or whatever, like, you know, there was a time when my old job, I worked remotely a lot, right? So I would be home a lot and I rip and run. And she's like, why can't you just sit in the house and just like enjoy the fact that you don't got to go into the office and do all this stuff? I was like, I can't, like, I'm bored. Like, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. I got to be busy. And even when I hang with my fellas, even some of the more recent times I've hung with them within like the past year or so, I found that when we hanging out, it's not the same because like we don't really even know what to say to each other anymore. So like this is very different. I imagine it's tough for a lot of men because we have to learn how to sit still and we have to learn new ways to communicate, because what you can't do is just say, hey, because like I know for her, my fiance, she need her time to herself. She need her time with her girl.
Yes.
So I can't be like, oh, well, you're going to watch Versus with them, or you're going to do this with them. And I, you know, what about me? I can't be
right,
like that.
Right.
I have to find my own thing to do. And, you know, it's interesting, but I think that when this is over, to your point about men needed to be busy and men needed to have so much, you know, that we communicate differently. I hope that when we come out of this, we would have learned a lot of lessons on how to communicate, not only with our partners, mm-hmm. but with ourselves mm-hmm. and with our friends and mm-hmm. family.
And to reach out. I know the thing is, it's mm-hmm. weird. It's a whole, I mean, mm-hmm. you're sitting still, you're reflecting.
Yeah.
So you are being faced with things that you haven't had to do. you haven't had to do. So it's an uncomfortable feeling to actually like, what are these feelings? What is this?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. You know, my father calls me more than he's ever called me before. And he FaceTimes.
Go ahead, Dad.
And me and my dad would talk a lot. It's wild. Like, we would hang out. Like, I'd go to visit him and we'd talk Redskins or whatever, talk football. I know you got
with me,
but you know, we talk Skins or whatever. we talk Skins or whatever. But like, my brother is staying with him, thank God, for do this. My brother lives in New York, but he came down here to stay with my dad. Mm-hmm. And they FaceTime a lot. And I was thought about it the other day. I said, well, I haven't FaceTimed with my father this much ever.
Right.
Like, this has never happened, but I love it. Like, it's a good thing. And we're talking about more than just football and, you know, politics. We talk about all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We talk about the wedding. We talk about family. And it is, I see positive change coming in regards to communicating. I really do. But there is work to be done. And I just want to remain an advocate for that. You know, just do my small part to really help fellas understand that it's okay to talk. It's okay to be vulnerable and switch it up a little bit.
So here's the spiked lemonade question, which is when people unknowingly drink a common drink, but they don't realize it's spiked. So that's why the show is called Spiked Lemonade, because it's mental health wrapped in it. So do you think that a lot of men are drinking spiked lemonade? Like, they don't understand how important it is for them to self-care for themselves beyond just the physical.
Absolutely. If you know, I'm a hip hop, I fancy myself a hip hop historian. Hip hop is my life, right? Hip hop has always been about self-care. It just came off in the spike. It was basically a bunch of men drinking spiked lemonade. When you listen to especially older hip hop songs, right? Like pop, people like that, they were talking about their stress. They were talking about their issues, and they were talking about detoxing and dealing with that. But they were talking about dealing with that in negative ways. It's usually sex. It's usually smoking, drinking, or whatever, right? But the whole crust of the point of the music was to say, I'm from an environment that's toxic. I'm expressing myself in a way musically through poetry.
And I'm stressed.
Not even realizing that's what I'm doing. And I'm stressed. I'm talking about what's going on with me. I'm expressing myself. And therefore, the audience is hearing this and feeling it and relating to it. That's spiked lemonade in itself. You don't even realize what you're listening to. Even now, you listen to J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, who are two artists I love because they are very much in tune with their mental health. Absolutely, right? When you're listening to them, okay, Spike Lemonade is Swimming Pools, right? The song Swimming Pools, right? Okay. That song is about alcoholism.
Yes.
But when you hear it, pull up, drink, you think it sounds like a club band.
Right.
It sounds like a joint that's just like, you know what I mean? I love myself. It's about loving yourself. It's about a dude who was on the brink of suicide who's saying, you know what? I love myself. Right. So yeah, there's Spike Lemonade. Men are consuming Spike. Anybody that's a Tupac fan, or a Biggie fan, or a Big L fan, or a Nipsey Hussle fan, or a, you know, even a Drake fan, you are definitely consuming Spike Lemonade.
I love Drake for his feelings. I love you, Drake. I love you. Because he has opened gateway. He's opened a gateway for vulnerability for some men. Y'all be feeling a whole lot of stuff, but he says it in a way that's a little bit, you know, different. I love it.
Different. We've been in tune. We just didn't realize that we were in tune. We've been aware of our stress, of the toxic environments, of the toxic feelings that we have. You know, my mind's playing tricks on me. All of these songs. I feel like Michael Dyson right now is quoting all these hip-hop songs. But there's you know, throughout the history of our music, which is directly from Black culture. Hip-hop is Black culture, right? You can see that. And just in regards to Black men, it's the same thing with Black women right now, right? You could, you know, you look at like all the stuff that's going on with a lot of the women artists, Black women artists. It's the same thing. But just in regards to Black men, yes, to answer your question, absolutely. We've been drinking spiked lemonade for some time. Now it's just time for us to understand that we've been drinking spiked lemonade. And what do we do with that? We understand our feelings. We know we're going through some things. We know things are different for us. We understand that we're stressed. But how do we take that next step in order to grow and improve and heal?
It's almost like how to be a responsible drinker for what's being going, for the mental health pieces that are on, like becoming aware of it so you can actually maneuver better. If you have five tips to leave men with what would you leave them with in terms of self-care?
Oh, God, five. Okay. One, be open and honest. Two, be aware. So first I'll start off with be aware. Okay. Second, I would say be open and honest. Three, I would say don't be afraid to take time for yourself and slow it down. Okay. Four, be responsible, because it goes back to that thing about, like, with men, we like to detox in ways that are sometimes very toxic. Again, it's you know, and I'm not a prude. Like, you drink, you smoke, you do what you do. But you know, when you're overdoing anything, right? That's a problem, right? When you're self-medicating in a way that's harmful to yourself, so be responsible. And then I would say, yes. And then lastly, I would say, be happy on purpose. That is something. I remember when I first started saying that years ago, somebody said to me, like, I sound like an old church mom. Right? Like, I was like, be, you gotta be joyful on purpose, right? But it's very true. Like, there's a lot of reasons to wake up in the morning and be pissed off. Let's just keep it real, right? There's a lot of reasons.
And there will always be, too.
And there will always be, whether we're in a pandemic or the world is sunny and great, right? Either way, you have to decide to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be okay today. I'm going to be happy on purpose. Even if you don't, look, things are going to upset you. Things are going to piss you off. It is what it is. You can't be happy 24/7. But if you are keeping the mentality of, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to go through this life in a positive manner, you know, I'm going to stay prayed up if that's what you choose to do, or I'm going to just have a positive mental space, do that on purpose. Those are my five.
Okay. All right. And tell the people where to find you out here in these internet streets or on social media. Let them know how they can find you, catch up with you, because this conversation is awesome. He also has his own podcast, The Butler Did It. Some awesome conversations there. So you definitely want to follow him there. But where are some other places that they can reach you as well?
Definitely. I would love to get you on the show soon, too. I'm going to carry this conversation on with my audience. So I would love to do that. The Butler Did It. It's on all podcasting platforms, all of them. It's just The Butler Did It. Look it up. You can follow me on social, MSR. That's MSR underscore Adam. MSR underscore Adam. Find me on social. You can find everything that's going on with me on my social media. And if you're on Facebook, it's just Adam Butler. Look me up. Real simple. I got the plain Jane name for a reason.
Plain Jane name, but without the plain Jane kicks. His shoe game is on.
All right.
I be like, you know, it's coming in a kid size 4.5. I mean, come on. Who got the plug? Who got the plug, man?
Hey, I got several plugs. You just need to holler.
I will holler. Because I love sneakers. 4.5. And boys, kids, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Holla, I probably shouldn't have plug.
Said,
I hope you
said 4.5. That does sound a little small.
It's a little small, but it's okay.
Kids, all right. Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. It's been
such a wonderful time to have this conversation. The lemon has been dropped. We got into it, okay? Oh my goodness. And I'm sure you're going to be on here again.
All right.
I'm pretty sure you are. We got so much more in store.
Would love to.
So thank you so much. And I'll see you soon. Peace and lemons.
No problem.
Thanks for listening. This concludes another episode of the Spike Lemonade Podcast with your girl, health and happiness strategist, TC Mason. Join in on the conversation and don't miss another episode. Subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a review. And if you really want to get in on the Spike Lemonade conversations, suggest some topics, some guests, even a situation of the day. And you can email us at lemondrop@spikedlemonade.live. Again, we want to hear from you. Email us at lemondrop@spikedlemonade.live. Catch you next episode. Peace and lemons.